You know, most of you know what I'm going to do tonight somewhat, but you know, most of the keys in the Word of God, you use your mouth. You know, you pray, whether it be in understanding or in tongues, you still use your mouth, move your mouth. You read the Word of God, you move your mouth. You worship God, you open your mouth. There's one thing that you do that you keep it shut. Called fasting. When it comes to fasting, you keep your mouth shut. Now, the reason most people don't care anything about hearing about fasting and things along that line is because, you know, when you mention doing without food, I mean, that just right away just blows them away. You know, I don't want to do that. I got to do without food. But see, we want whatever. We want to do whatever in the Word of God, or at least I do, and I think most of you all do. We want to do whatever in the Word of God that changes us. We want to change. We don't want to stay where we're at. We want to move farther into God, toward the things that He wants, the things that He has for us to do. And we have to do things in the Word of God to do that. You can sit in the pew and pray all your life. Now, the only thing that will get you is that with all that prayer, you'll get a desire in you that causes you to want to do something else. That's what prayer does to you. It draws you closer to God and you want to do something for Him. Even if you started out saying, I don't want to do anything for God, and I don't want to do anything for God. You'll change that if you pray long enough. It may take a while, but you'll change it. And so we want to do things out of the Word of God that will cause us to change. There's things like that's running rapidly in the earth, especially in the church, is apathy. It's throughout the church. Apathy. Well, I'll just show up on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and I'll sit there and I've done my duty. That's not right. That's not good enough. You might say, well, I'm born again. I'm saved. Yeah, you'll get to heaven, but you'll get there barely and you won't have anything to show for it. Well, when I get to heaven, I want to believe that I have attained to everything that He had for me, everything that He wanted. I want to try to make sure in the meantime here that I'm doing what He wants me to do and that when I get to heaven, I've done it all that He wanted. Now, I know I've already made some mistakes in the past and took a wrong route or two and corrected myself. One thing about it, if you keep praying, you're gonna get on the right path. You may be on the wrong path, but eventually you're gonna get back on the right path if you keep seeking God. We know that. But there's been one or two times, you know, that all of us maybe have not quite went the route that He wanted and we had to start over or take a side trip. And so, you know, we know that, but we want to do everything we can to attain to what He has for us. Well, so I want to do everything in the Word of God, and you can't cut out one thing in the Word of God. If you don't watch it, if you keep cutting out things in the Word of God, pretty soon you'll be cutting out salvation. You can just be there and go to heaven. Well, we know that ain't right. You've got to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you don't want to get to the point that you're cutting out so much in the Word of God that you cut that out. You know, it's like the fellow said, you know, the preacher asked him, said, why is your Bible so thin? He only had one or two pages in it. He said, well, I cut out everything you said that had passed away. We don't want to do that. We don't want to get to that point. Well, I want to review just a little bit from last week for a couple of reasons. For one thing, we have visitors, and so I think whether you're a visitor or not a visitor, we probably need to review it just a little bit, and we won't spend a lot of time, and I don't think I can do everything that I have tonight, so we'll finish up this at a later date, but I'll try to get you enough here to go on with it. But I want to review just a little bit, and this one passage in Luke chapter 18, the reason I want to review it is to make it clear exactly what was going on here, because I don't know how else to put this, this was sort of a legal type transaction. A judge was involved, actually two judges were involved, and she was wanting justice from her adversary. And so let's just start with verse 1 of chapter 18, Luke chapter 18. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, in a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city. She came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. Now, your adversary, you know, could be the devil. It could be an infirmity in your body. But she had an adversary that she was wanting justice. And she went before this judge and says, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor revere man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And we found out that this unjust judge, this judge that didn't want to do anything for, was the soul. You can have any problem, any adversary, any infirmity, any circumstance that's gone wrong. You know, and we used a certain thing last time. You know, maybe you lost your wife. Maybe you lost your husband. You know, and, you know, with that, even in a divorce, the emotions can get so distraught. You want to cry out to God, but to get answers, see, you're never going to get an answer. You're never going to get anything done unless it's God that you go to. You can't go to your soul and get anything out of it. You might get a little bit of temporary relief, but it's not your answer. Your soul is not your answer. We're not going to have revival in Tahlequah or Cherokee County or any other place around unless we go to God. We're not going to be able to do it through our soul. It just doesn't work that way. Now what you've got to do is turn your soul, we've talked about this, you've got to separate your soul from the spirit and turn your soul toward God, into God. Because there's no other way to get the answers that you need. Solid answers. See, we know by definition that an infirm thing is something that is not rock solid. If you have cancer in your body, it's an infirm thing. And you need it to be solid. You need to have a healing. You need to have a miracle. And so you're only going to get that from God. You're not going to get that from your soul, even though your soul wants to take over and take your life over, try to give you the answers. You can't get the answers from your soul. But he goes on here and he says, then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Well, I want him to find faith when he comes. I want to be one that's walking in faith. I don't want to have that faith. Well, I can't do that through my soul. It's not going to give me faith. God's the one that's going to give me faith. Walking with God is how I'm going to get the faith. And so we can't walk with the soul. We can't have everything turned toward the soul and be making decisions in our walk by the soul. It's got to be a walk into God. We've got to turn our soul toward God. Soul, you're not going to dictate my life. Now, I'll use my soul to worship God and turn it into God. But it's not going to control my life. Because God is the one that gives me the answers. So the unjust judge was the soul. And she couldn't get the answer from him, even though she kept trying. And the soul thought, you know, she's going to wear me down. So I'm going to direct her toward God. Good move, soul. Because God is, if you want a God, if you want a judge to pray to, pray to God. He is the judge. He is the judge. He's the final say-so. Take your points, your legal points, before God. God, I've got cancer, but by His stripes I was healed. Point number one. Point number two. God, You supply all of my needs. And I worship You that You supply all of my needs. A little bit better than last week? Get a little bit more out of it? I wanted to clear it just a little bit in case you didn't. Okay, let's go on to Matthew chapter 4. Now remember, we were talking here about, before we leave here, just says, will he really find faith on the earth? That's how he ended up that passage. He began it by, men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Now, we don't want to lose heart, and we want to gain in faith. Okay? Now, I'm tying all this together. Once again, I'm going back over this, so we'll make sure that everybody gets it. Matthew chapter 4. Hallelujah. I really like reading this passage. You know, I've had one or two, like I told you, to say, well, you know, if I wanted to be tempted, I wouldn't fast because I get tempted all the time anyhow. You know, but there's a reason for this. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness, verse 1, to be tempted by the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Well, yeah, if you fast 40 days and 40 nights, I can tell you right now from experience, you'll be hungry. You'll be hungry. In fact, there comes a certain point in your fast that you're not any longer hungry, but when that 40 days is up, all of a sudden you find yourself hungry. That's just the way it works. So these are positional standings that we're talking about here. And if we do what Jesus said to do, if we do what Jesus done, we will enact, we will activate those positional standings in our life. Well, I don't need to pray. Or I don't need to fast. Well, you know, you're probably the one that needs to fast. You know, I'm just going to be, by the way, you don't know me, but I'm very blunt. But I'm mellow. I am mellow. And that is a good thing. Contrary to what some English instructors say, it is a good thing to be mellow. Moving right along. I shouldn't have never turned it over to me tonight. Uh, And verse 2, when he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now you notice here he didn't say that he was thirsty. Must have had something to drink in those 40 days and 40 nights. Said he fasted that long, but then he was hungry, but he didn't say he was thirsty. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He came back with the word of God, defeated Satan in the fleshly realm. So now we have something to stand on, to put our flesh in its place, which is a good thing. There's one thing that you need is for you to put your flesh in the right place. You don't want to be led around by the flesh. It'll have you doing all kinds of things. Thank you, Jesus. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him into the holy city, set him up on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So he's saying, look, taking you up on this temple, you jump off and commit suicide. Be overcome by your emotions. That's what he's saying. So here Jesus defeated him in the emotional realm. He said, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Look, all these things I'm going to give you if you will fall down and worship me. If you will give your life to worshiping me. Spiritual death. So Jesus, he overcome it. And this is what he said. He said, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So we have three areas here. Spirit, soul, and body. Flesh, body. That he overcomes Satan in and won a positional standing for you and I. So, listen, you don't have to be overcome by your emotions and commit suicide or go crazy or anything like that. You don't have to be overcome by your flesh and be led around by the flesh. You've got victory over it. You don't have to be led wrong spiritually, you've got victory over it. It's like the fellow says, you know, you can be overcome by money and women that have money. You know, you can be overcome by any one of those things, but you don't have to be. You know, I really believe. Now, it's common knowledge. You know, it was in the news and everything. And all of you discussed it. But when Jimmy Swaggart fell, I really believe that if he had had a fasted life, that would not have happened. They used to draw straws to see who was going to have to sleep in the room next to him because of all the repenting going on before a service. Now that is terrible. That's how bad it was before he actually had everything spilled out and revealed. But I believe that there was a way out. And I believe that if he had applied some fasting, not some, but a lot, if he had applied it to his life, this wouldn't have happened. Because Jesus gave us the victory in every area. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. See, Jesus, He didn't leave anything to happenstance. He thought out everything. Anything you can think of. He gained the victory for you and I and paid the ultimate price. What more do you want? How can you not serve Him? See? Hallelujah. I get excited about this. All the victory, all the positional standings that He gave me, that I can actually walk in victory. I don't have to be led around by my flesh, by my emotions. I don't have to be deceived in serving the devil. I have victory over it. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, what am I going to gain with fasting? Just what is it that I'm going to gain? Well, in Matthew chapter 17, starting in verse 14. When they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. Now listen, I hear this quite often, and it's a legitimate thing to say. The problem is it's sort of wrong. You say, well, you pray for somebody and they don't get healed, or it doesn't seem like they're healed. And you say, well, you know, they have to have faith too. But see, that's not right. If they're not capable, what about what I call a waterhead baby? You know, I forget the name of that disease or that infirmity. Hydrocephalic. What about them? Are they required of that faith? No, I think not. So that's not the answer. That's why we can't pass off and excuse ourselves from walking in the power of the Holy Spirit to set those people free. Now, if there's an accountability, I'll go with that. If they've heard the Word, and they've heard the healing Word, and they need to hear it some more, I'll go with that. But it's not in every instance that you can say, well, they should have had faith too. You didn't get them healed because they didn't have faith. No, not necessarily. Hey, I need to be walking in the place that every person that comes up here... By the way, did I tell you that I love my church? Okay, but whenever they come walking up here, that they get healed every time. Not 90%, not 70%, not 99%, but 100%. Every time. Not one walk away unhealed. And I have everything in the Word of God that can change who I am and what I am, that I may receive what God has. And we found out that the anointing is actually Him. Well, we want to receive all of Him that's necessary to get that miracle across to that person. Glory to God. Well, you're going to have to do some things that's going to change you and change the world that you're living in, that you might receive everything that God has. You can't just sit on the pew and show up every Sunday to satisfy Pastor Gary. You can't just do that. You've got to do things to change the world that you're living in. Right now, our immediate world is Tahlequah, Oklahoma. I believe my world expands a little bit farther. I've got to make sure that when I go to Peru, that not one of them walk away unhealed. Every one of them gets healed. But I want to do whatever it takes. Right now, I'm walking in the amount of the Spirit of God and the anointing. I'm just going to go ahead and use that word, even though we interpret it wrongly sometimes. I'm walking in the anointing that I'm able to at this moment. Just this moment. It's going to change. It's going to be more of it. So he goes on here, he says, says, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. He often falls in the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, now how would you like to be a disciple of Jesus and walk with Jesus?
I want to walk with Jesus. Do I get that chance to walk with Jesus? I want to walk with Jesus.
Well, this wasn't a good time to be walking with Jesus. He said, oh, faithless and perverse generation, when Shelley's cat does something wrong, that's what I say to it. Oh, faithless and perverse generation, get out of my sight. Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. I bet the disciples felt about that tall. Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately. They'd done it privately, not in public. They pulled him aside. Jesus, we want to know, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. It's basically your doubt and unbelief is the reason why. You might as well just admit it. You've got doubt and unbelief. See, most people won't admit that. But if things aren't happening, if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, or if you're not getting results, you got doubt and unbelief. I didn't say it. Don't throw any stones now. Jesus said it. For assuredly I say to you, and he goes on, he tells you here how to get it. He says, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Now, understand what he's saying here. He's not saying that if you just have the faith of a little bitty mustard seed. No, what he's saying is, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, it will grow into greater faith. Because you plant a mustard seed, it's not going to stay tiny very long. See? So he gives them the answer here. However, this kind does not go out except by the power twins, prayer and fasting. That's what we call them, is the power twins, prayer and fasting. You want to have power in your life, you want to be able to cast that devil out, you want to be able to stop that illness, you want to be able to heal that person. You're not going to have it without prayer and fasting.
Why should I fast?
Why should you not fast? And I've seen people, you know, they say, well, I fasted, you know, back when I was a pastor, they'd say, Pastor, I fasted. I finally made it to 40 days. I went on a 40-day fast, and I don't know of anything that happened. Well, didn't you get a prayer answered recently that you'd been praying for 2 or 3 years? Well, yeah, I did. What's that got to do with fasting? Well, what happens when you start fasting and you start laying yourself out before God and focusing on God instead of focusing on eating, what happens is all of a sudden you think, well, I don't know. You see, there's several things that can happen when you're fasting, but sometimes nothing. Or you think it's nothing. Until you start counting up all the prayers that are suddenly come to pass after you done this fast or while you were doing this fast. Why do you think that happens? Because you get rid of the doubt and unbelief. And prayers that you'd been praying for years and couldn't get no answer, couldn't get it to come to pass. All of a sudden, it comes to pass. Now, as long as it's in line with the Word of God, of course. But all of a sudden, it comes to pass. Because you were getting rid of that doubt and unbelief. What doubt and unbelief? That doubt and unbelief that was so hidden, you couldn't even recognize it. It was so subtle that it eroded your prayers, kept you from getting answers. All of a sudden you get them because you broke that doubt and unbelief over your life. Glory to God. That's what we want. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, revival breaks out. If you do it enough. See, there's a big devil guarding Tahlequah. He don't want revival. That would be a bad thing for the devil, for revival to break out in Tahlequah or Oklahoma or Texas, anywhere. That would be a bad deal. Now, I'm not talking about just a good church service. I'm talking about revival where they line up at the door, fill this place because the glory of God is in here so thick and so many things happening. They want to get in and they can't get in. We have to go out there and minister to them. That's what I'm talking about. And we have to go down for blocks and minister to them because they're lined up so far. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about just a good church service. I've had plenty of them. I'll tell you, I ain't bragging. I'm just saying I've had plenty of good church services. I want something more. I want it where, like in the Welch revival, they were driving by in a wagon and fell out on their heads because of the revival that was going on. That's what I want! Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, he's talking about here. He said, this comes out only by prayer and fasting. Where you can get rid of, and he was just talking about doubt and unbelief. You faithless, perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? He's just talking about it there. Your lack of faith. Well, I have a lack of faith. No, you have doubt and unbelief. Call it what it is. See, and he was talking about overcoming that, rooting that out of your life, that it's replaced by the presence and the power of God that changes things. Say, well, show me another witness. Okay. Let's do that. Hallelujah. How about Isaiah 58? Now, we call this actually the Jesus Fast. Verse 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke. Is it not to share bread with the hungry, that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? You know why you bring them to your house? Because you actually care about humanity. When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. See, this fast is talking about, this passage, you know, everybody would say, I'm going to loose the bonds of wickedness upon this person. Well, you really got to do it on yourself first before you can do it for anybody else. And that's what it's talking about. It says that you, when you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself. Hide yourself from your own flesh. It's for us. This fast is for us, that we can change our life and do things that we weren't able to do before. One thing that we can do is care about people. I'll go to church and sit in the pew. Just try to move me. You can't move me, Pastor. You can't move me. I don't want to be moved, and I don't want to be moved. See? Because of the apathy, the don't care attitude. But you can change that. And here is the passage to do it. And not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then what happens? What happens? What happens to your flesh? What happens? Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. And your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Glory. I don't have to worry about what's behind me. The glory of God is guarding it. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and He will say, "Here I am." Hallelujah. So see, your healing shall break forth speedily. You might have an infirmity in your body. You do this fast and all of a sudden you're just set free from whatever was in your body. See, I know of people. There's one example of a lady that, actually I know several examples. This one lady started fasting and she had rabbit fever or something. She'd been bit by a squirrel when she was younger and developed, it had a disease. When she started fasting, all those symptoms and all that stuff that she had way back then came forth in her body. And she was suddenly healed from it just from the fast. Why? Because when you're fasting, you know, I'm not talking about 2 or 3 days. When you're fasting, this is a little more now. I mean, I'm all for 2 or 3 days. But this is a little more. When she went on this long fast, she started bringing that stuff forth out of the muscle tissues of her body. And that stuff that was lodged up there came out and she got rid of that. And all the symptoms of it disappeared. She never had a bit of trouble with it after that because that came forth. And it cleaned up her body. Her health sprung forth speedily. Hallelujah. I have a friend. He was here, David Lee. I'll tell the whole story. He wouldn't fast, even though his wife, we directed her and taught her through a fast, a 40-day fast. She was the one that called me like 3 in the morning. Anyhow, she fasted. He wouldn't do it. He just, you know, I don't know whether he didn't want to go without food or whether he just didn't believe it or what. But finally, he was up in Ulysses taking over for me. And he started teaching on the passage on fasting. And I said, no, wait a minute. If you haven't fasted, you can't teach on it. You'll get somebody in trouble. You don't want to do that. Well, that kind of put him in a bad position. He had to fast. So he started fasting till he started having hallucinations. This was after 3 or 4 days. And what it was, all the heroin and drugs and stuff that he had been into before he got saved, all of that stuff was still lodged in his muscles and his tissues and started coming forth. Well, what do you want me to do? Keep going. Don't stop. Don't stop. We'll walk you through it. Or if you have to, stop for a little bit, wait a few days, start again, whatever. But get through it. God's wanting to set you free from it. And that's what happened. He done 40 days finally. Got set free from it, all the symptoms, all that hallucinations and junk that goes along with drug use, all of it was gone. His health sprang forth speedily. That's another good reason. Faith and your health, setting other people free, causing the devil to come out. A lot of good reasons to fast. Revival. Just a minor thing. Hallelujah, Jesus. So there were so many times people would say, well, this passage is so you can, if you fast, you can get everybody free from the devil that you come in contact with. The problem is you got to get yourself free from some things. That's the best witness that you can have, is to get yourself free and be walking in a path of freedom that others can see. You don't have to tell them about it. They'll just see it. I want what you got. I want to be like you. Well, we want them to have something to be like. You know, like I said, this apathy is the biggest problem that the church has got, as far as I'm concerned, a don't care attitude. You know, I don't care whether I do anything. I made it to church. What more do you want? You know, I wrote my check out to you. That's okay. You can sit there on the back row as long as you keep writing that check. See, sheep only go to the extent that the pastor goes. And that's why we have so many sick sheep in the churches. It's because nobody is leading them out. You know, Catherine Kuhlman, you know, they'd get after her and say, you're stealing my sheep. She said, no, I'm just feeding sheep. Just because they can't find the feed where they're at. They're coming over to me on Sunday mornings for my big crusades to get fed. She wasn't trying to steal anybody's sheep. You know, if I go around this town and start, I've invited a few lately in other churches to come. Join us on a Sunday evening or whatever. I'm not trying to steal them. I see that they need fed, that they need more than what they're getting. You're proselytizing. Well, I can't even pronounce the word. How am I going to do it? So. Now, he would only let me go so far today on tonight on the physical aspect. So I'm not going to take you far as I can take you. But I would just say this. You can start fasting a day on. That's 24 hours. It's not a day fast and eat at night. That's just a diet. Well, I'm going to skip supper, but I'm going to eat at lunch. That's just a diet. It's not a fast. But you can go like 24 hours off of food, just with water. You want to use water because you don't want to get dehydrated. But you can use 24 hours and then you can go off and eat salads. Go back on the next day on another 24-hour fast. When you start fasting, especially a longer fast, you want to take about a week or two and eat nothing but salads or vegetables, as my wife corrects me. Vegetables or salads. You want to start cleaning up your system. You know, and people have a tendency when even after one day they fast and they say, I tried fasting. I tried really hard and I got a massive headache. What do you do when you get a headache when you're fasting? I take a Tylenol. It works the best. See, they've convinced themselves somehow either through help or through the devil talking to their mind, they've convinced themselves that if they take a Tylenol, they broke a fast. That's just not true. Here's where you break a fast. Huh? That's right. You've been listening to me. You've been fasting for 2 weeks and you end up at Sonic ordering a number two and you didn't even know it. Number two cheeseburger and you didn't even know that you did it, and then you had it half eight. come to and find out that you ate half that cheeseburger. That's breaking a fast. That's also being very bound up that you need to fast more, because that had so much of a hold on you that you ended up doing that and you didn't realize it. That's, you know, you need to fast some more. But anyhow, it happens. It happens. But you're not going to break a fast but just because you have to take a Tylenol for a headache. See, people have some weird ideas. What? Yeah, you know, people that are on medications. And you say, well, I don't know whether to fast or not because I'm supposed to eat something with these medications. All you have to do is take a little bit of milk. Make sure your stomach's coated before you take your medications. You say, well, I'll ask my doctor. Well, I can tell you what the doctor will say. I can tell you ahead of time what the doctor will say if you talk to him about fasting. He'll say, don't do it. So you'll be stuck that way the rest of your life. I'm not telling you not to listen to your doctor. I'm just telling you what he'll say ahead of time. I know, because they've told me. You can, if you want to go a little bit longer, like I said, you want to drink water or fluids. Some people drink a little bit of watered down juice, stuff like that. That's okay. Some use broth, you know, off soup. That's okay. But I'm talking about the real fast here. If you want to use a little bit of water, just get you a couple quarts of water, put some lemon juice in it, and a little bit of honey. The honey is for strength that you think you run out of, which you didn't. It was the toxins in your body causing you to think that you were low on energy. Put a little bit of honey and a little bit of lemon juice. The lemon juice acts as an antitoxin where it, you know, helps purify your body. And that's it. We could go into some more things, but my wife kind of forbid me tonight. Between her and God, I was forbidden. Blame her and God. Anyhow, so, like I said, you can go on a short fast and then go back to eating for a while and go on another one. Hey, any fasting that you do is more than what the rest of the churches are doing. You know, that's just the way it is. If you do a day a week, you've done more than any of the other Christians around you. I started out, I've always took things to the extreme somewhat in most people's eyes. But basically after I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I learned about fasting. I didn't go with just 2 or 3 days. I went on ahead and went the first time like 7 days, second one 10 days or something like that. I can't remember, that's been so long ago. But I went a certain period and then I was working toward 40 days. It was several years after that before I went on the 40-day fast. I made I think about 3 30-day fasts before I ever went on a 40-day. Why I didn't go ahead on those 30s and carry it to 40 is because the devil and emotions.
Cheeseburger.
I love those number 2 cheeseburgers at Sonic. That was my favorite thing. Still is, except I have overcome. My wife can tell you, I have overcome. But anyhow, so you can take it short, you know. And there is a guy in Old Mexico that travels the hills of Old Mexico, David Hogan. And he's been to the States several times, many times. We've heard him speak, and he's had, last count I knew several years ago, he had 21 people raised from the dead. And he owes it all to fasting. Now, the way he does it, he fasts one day, off one day, fast one day, off one day, and he does it all year long. He calls that living the fasted life, and I agree with him, it probably. His entire family does that, not just him, but and the people that say, I want to join up with you and travel with you, you know, and make these big statements, he makes them do it also. So, anyhow, let's just stand and worship God just a little bit. Pastor, you know, I don't know why, but that song, In the Garden, I would really like to hear that. And like I said, we have more the next time if the Lord is willing and directs me that way, I'll preach some more on it the next time that I preach, whenever that is. So we'll just see, because there is some more things that I could get across. But I think this gets you started pretty quick. And like Pastor said this morning, on the website, I have a fasting series on there called Fasting in the Fasted Life. Fasting in the Fast... I don't even know my own. Fasting in the Fast Lane is about six audios. So you can see we're condensing this down quite a bit. So just lift your hands. Just begin to worship Him.